Mr. Webb, reel 7.
What about brewing up? If you wanted to make a cup of tea?
Well, that was what I was saying about candles coming up in rations, because they were rations, candles. And you see, what they used to do there was some fellows would very well didn't care. They didn't used to worry. They used to drink water. The man I was with was a corporal, and he used to be a very keen man. He used to make tea when nobody else could make it. You know what I mean? He was one of those fellows that, well, done the impossible. Wonderful man.
Yeah, how was the tea usually made then?
Well, I'll tell you how it was made. We used to put so much water in from each individual, that's six men, into a canteen. Unless the man would rather drink his own water, and that was that. He wouldn't get any tea. And we had this tea and sugar mixed. And it used to come up to us, our ration, you see. And we used to have a round tin, and we used to make some holes in it, like a brazier. Do you know what I mean by a brazier?
Yes.
And we used to have some tow, or what we used to use for cleaning the gun, woolen cotton stuff for cleaning the gun barrels, you see. You know, like a... more like a woolen thing it was. It was sent to us.
Yes,
we used to have that. Wind it, chop a candle off, up the outside of the tin, and wind this tow around, this ribbon of stuff, and then put it into the tin, like that. And then we used to set fire to the wick, and the grease used to run over, and we used to light the little bits of tow on the side, which was... very inflammable, because it was like cotton wool, similar that sort of thing, and it would dissolve the candle, and all the candle grease would run down into the tow, therefore not causing any smoke, because smoke was a fatal thing for us. So if every saw a streak of smoke, he'd shell you to death, and that was the object of having that candle running out into the tow, therefore giving a fair amount of flame underneath your canteen, that you'd plugged a bayonet into the trench, on the fire step I'm talking about.
Yes.
Put the bayonet into the trench like that, and hang your canteen on like that. Underneath was your little furnace, you know, little tin.
I see.
Flame. Well, then when that was boiled, you would simply put your tea in, and you might have milk which you've bought from the Expeditionary Force canteen before you went in the line. Because there was places where we could buy it, you see.
Okay.
And make our tea. Well,
good.
Often as not, a shell would come over and a great lump of dirt would come down, bang, and away goes your tea.
Mm-hmm. Right. oh, I know what I was going to ask you.
Yeah?
Did you ever make a fire in the trench?
Yes. Yes, about twice. And you couldn't do that on all fronts, because some places you was screened by a ridge or a hill that you could make a fire. But if he saw it, he'd shell you to death for it. Now, I had the pal of mine that was there, the corporal, as I'm telling you, was a plumber in civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a chimney out of... old biscuit tin, you know, made the proper chimney. And I remember him putting it in the trench, and we just dug a channel up the trench like that and made a fire out of old wood that came off of the buildings that was blown to blazes, you know. But we had to strip it.
Mm-hmm.
Men would simply sit in the water and strip it with their jackknives so it would flame and not smoulder. That's about the only time I ever saw a fire in the trenches.
Did you ever cook a meal in the trenches?
No, not to my knowledge.
Like frying a bit of bacon or anything?
No, no, you couldn't do that. Because you see, I mean to say, there was no facilities, and not only that, you see, you might be moved. I mean, you may have an attack immediately.
So you would normally have mostly cold food?
Well, most of the food was tinned, you know.
And you couldn't heat it up?
No, you couldn't eat it up. You just simply eat your bully beef direct from the tin, you see.
Mm-hmm. We were just to finish off on food, when you were in the trenches, how did you consume your food during the course of a day? Would you have it at normal meal times in the form of breakfast, dinner and tea?
No, anyway, when you felt sort of hungry and you fancy you'd do like a meal. Or if you thought there was an attack looming, you know, or you thought probably that we used to get things, people, intelligence people, I suppose, give us the wire that the Germans were going to make an attack.
Yes, well, if there was no attack on, what was your usual practice?
Well, just when you felt hungry. We didn't have any special time for meals, not actually.
But you would normally tend to feel hungry roughly the same time of the day.
The same as you would here, yeah. Yes, probably. Well, then, because some people would say, well, I never had anything for breakfast this morning, and I think I'll have a bit now, middle of the morning.
Right, I think that deals with food pretty thoroughly. Just think about routine work in the trenches, the kind of things you would do fairly regularly. Presumably, you would be involved with trench digging and trench repairing.
Yes.
How often did you have to repair trenches, and what went wrong with them?
Well, that was a very often an occurrence, because, I mean, to say every day occurrence, because, you see, the Germans would shell us. You see, at periods, and especially if we made an attack or shelled them himself, he'd make a counterattack, you see. Well, he'd perhaps blow our trenches flat. Well, they had to be dug out, you see, and thrown up in the front where the fire, in front of the fire step. And you see, the men that were standing idle, as I tell you, that was waiting to go on the trenches, on the fire steps, off duty, would do a lot of that work. Yes. But that had to be done at night, more or less, you see, because he'd shell us to death in the daytime.
Yes. Okay, fine. Which was usually your busiest time, during the day or the night?
Well, I think that would be busier at night, because you see all the rations had to come up, and you see, as I say, any trench repairs would have to be done. And as I say, I think in the daytime we just simply, well, did a lot of whiling away the time, really, waiting for anything to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Be on the alert in case anything cropped up, you see.
Right. I'd like to talk about some of the main discomforts of trench life, some of the things which caused you the most unpleasantness, if you like. Of all the aspects of living in the trenches, which did you personally find the most disagreeable?
Well, I think mud and lice.
Why did you pick mud?
Well, mud, you see, stopped you from really doing what you really want to do. In the fact that it got so, when it was very wet, you see, the mud was more soft, and you were standing it up to your knees, probably or higher, within water and mud. Well, then, when that started to get dry, you see, it was more difficult to get about from place to place, because you see I was sometimes at one post and be down to another, and had to go all down through. You wouldn't dare go out on the top to move about here.
You mentioned lice. When did you first notice lice were a
problem?
Well,
lice would take place on you. I mean, so I went out as a clean person, as you know, from the front, from the home, and from the camp then in England, and Rouen then, and I found that well, not very long afterwards, you start to itch, and you got them off the other fellows, you see. And owing to the conditions that we were living in, mud and slush and, awful conditions of, I don't know what I ought to say, the dead around and so on, which causes all that sort of thing. The Germans, in my opinion, were not so clean as the British Army.
What, do you remember the first time you ever noticed lice?
Yes, I was in the trenches, and at Le Translay, and I suddenly realised that I began to itch and swing my clothes around my body where I was, you know, trying to, because you see you had your equipment
on.
Yes,
yes.
And of course you just swung your clothes around your body, or you scratch and scratch and scratch. And the men that had been out there longer than I had, who was there previous to me, you see, was, well, they always said that the lice was more active on a new body, a fresh body, if you understand what I mean, than they were on people that had the lice for a long time. And you see, they were most of destructive things, lice were. And I think that was one of the biggest humbugs of the British Army. Lice in the trenches. Lice, mud, and gas. Now, I consider that was three of the most uncomfortable things there was. I think so. Mustard gas, especially. I was gassed.
Describe that experience. What happened and where was it?
Well, I was gassed at a place called Grange Trench, near Newfoundland Park, actually. That's on the Somme front. And, well, suddenly in the morning there was fog, and we had the... they used to have old shell cases hung from the middle with a bit of wire, punch a hole through them. Well, when they fired them, there was a hole through the bottom, the back, the cap, you know. And they used to put a bit of wire through. They hang them up on a piece of wood, and when there was a gas attack, look, they used to bang this... cartridge thing, a big gun cartridge. And that sounded everywhere. Look, of course, the men had to put their gas mask on. Everybody'd shout gas. Well, then you simply put your gas mask on. If you didn't, well, you've had your chips.
Well, describe this occasion for me when you were gassed.
Well, that was when I was gassed.
Guess what, what happened?
Well, I just put my gas mask on and kept it on all day. And that was a matter, as I say, the old flannel bag gas mask. Mm.
Yes, I see. Did you wash in the trenches? Were you able to?
No, very rare. If you did, you'd have to wash in... using shallow water was a crime. Because you could get gassed with using shallow water. You could look at water. I was on the edge of the Somme, the River Somme. You wouldn't dare touch it because it flew... It was probably... Might have been poisoned from the Germans. That was what we were told. And all the water we ever used to use, you couldn't use it from anything in the trenches, you see, would be polluted by dead bodies or whatever it might be. You look what a horrible job that would be, which it was. And if you did happen to take any water from the shallows and you was found doing it, you were put on the crime. It wasn't allowed. Because, you see, that would give you gas boils in your body. Blisters come up. Then they break, they run. Where they run, they simply blister again and run and so on. And your shirt, funny perhaps you might think to say, would grow into your body because, you see, all that, your shirt would absorb that moisture and they would get caked. And I've seen, well, when I say that, I came home on leave and my mother was shocked to death to see me when I was stripped in having a bath. I had great holes in my back, big as a half crown.
Caused by what?
Mustard gas. And that was done at that time, as I tell you. That was the first time they used mustard gas on us. And you see, he used to use phosgene gas from cylinders. And it come up like a cloud. But you see, the mustard gas, he could shell it.
Yes.
And blow it like a lot of... Yes. You know.
I understand.
Yeah.
What about rats? Were they very persistent in the trenches? Rats?
Yes. Well, I could tell you an episode about that happened. Very funny.
Yeah.
I was at Avrincourt, and we were in the trenches there, and I was on a sunken road. And whilst I was there, I had two machine guns posted up the sunken road, which led to the German lines. And suddenly we heard a man coming along with a wheelbarrow. And we thought, that's funny. Of course, we challenged him, and he just didn't answer. So he came on a little further, pushing along. And lo and behold, when I got there, of course, we had machine guns manned and everybody waiting for to do their damnedest. And this was a German had come out to do wiring, and evidently he turned around four or five times with his party, you see, and come the wrong way. Anyway, we captured him. Well, then I was going to say, at that particular trench... I remember when you talk about rats, there was rats there well, I wouldn't say big as cats, but big as kittens. They were enormous size. You've never seen any rats in England like it. Great big rats. They used to feed on anything we threw away, or garbage or whatever it was there, and on bodies, if you like to put it that way, because there was plenty of that about, you know. And you see, one of the things we used to do, we talk about pastimes, what we did in the trenches. Now, the rat would come along like that and go down in the trench, along like that, and up over the other side. And what we'd done, we used to put a round pole across the trench, and he'd come across that pole, and we used to stand there and punch him off with our fists. Rats, kill them, knock them off, clean it like that. Because they used to come across, they were very tame. They used to come across on this pole, and that was one of our pastimes.